ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 25 एंटाइटल्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ लॉर्ड अनंत टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। Actually, it's a verse, like proper verse, but some other, they have not written it. So, I just read it myself alone. Utpatti sthiti laya hetav asya kalpa sattvadya prakruti guna yadikshaya asan yadrupam dhruvam akurtam yadekatmakam nana dhat kathamuha vedatasya vartmaha। Translation: by his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless, and although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? Purport. From the Vedic literatures, we learn that when the Supreme Lord glances sa aikshata over the material energy, the three modes of material nature become manifest and create material variety. Before he glances over the material energy, there is no possibility of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world. The Lord existed before the creation, and consequently he is eternal and unchanging. Therefore, how can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khanda Chapter 1.48 to 52 and chapter 1.58 to 69 tell of the glories of Lord Ananta. Ki Brahma ki Shiva ki Shanakadi Kumar Vyasuka Naradadi Bhakta Namayanar. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, four Kumaras, Vyasdev, Shukdev Goswami and Narad, are all pure devotees, eternal servants of the Lord. So these are the glories of Lord Ananta being quoted from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sabara Pujita Shri Ananta Mahashay Sahasra Vadana Prabhu Bhakti Rasamay. Lord Ananta, Lord Shri Ananta is worshipped by the all uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods and he is the reservoir of all devotional service. आदिदेव महायोगी ईश्वर वैष्णव महिमार अंत इन्हा न जाने सब। लॉर्ड अनंत इज द ओरिजिनल पर्सन एंड अ ग्रेट मिस्टिक कंट्रोलर। एट द सेम टाइम ही इज अ सर्वेंट ऑफ गॉड अ वैष्णव। सिंस देर इज नो एंड टू हिज ग्लोरीज, नो वन कैन अंडरस्टैंड हिम फुल्ली। सेवन सुनीला एबे सुन ठाकुराल आत्मतंत्रे येन मते Vaishena Patala. I have already spoken to you of his service to the Lord. Now hear how the self-sufficient Anantadev exists in the lower planetary systems of the Patal. Shri Narada Gosani Tumbura Kari Sange Se Yasha Gayena Brahma Sthane Shloka Vandhe. Bearing his string instruments, the Tumburu on his shoulders, the great sage Narad Muni always glorifies Lord Ananta. Narad Muni has composed many transcendental verses in the praise of the Lord. Sushti Siti Pralaya Satvadi Yata Guna Yana Dushti Patehaya Yaya Puna Puna. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of nature interact and produce creation, maintenance and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again. Advitiya rupa satya anadi mahatva tathapi anantahaya ki bhuji bese tatva. The Lord is glorified as one without a second, as the same supreme truth who has no beginning. Therefore he is called Anantadev, unlimited. Who can understand him? Shuddha Sattva Murti Prabhu Dharena Karunya Ye Vigrahe Sabara Prakasha Shulilya. His form is completely spiritual and he manifests it only by his mercy. All the activities in this material world are conducted only by his form. Yanara Taranga Shikhi Simha Mahavali Nija Jana Manoranje Hana Kutuhali. He is very powerful and always prepared to please his personal associates and devotees. Yananta Namer Shravana Sankirtane Yete Matekena Nahi Bole Yete Jane Ashesha Janmera Bandha Chinde Seikshane Atayeva Vaishnavana Chade Kabhutane. If we simply try to engage in the congregational chanting of the glories of Lord Anantadev, the dirty things in our hearts accumulated during many births will immediately be washed up. Therefore, a Vaishnav never loses an opportunity to glorify Lord Anantadev. Sheshabai samsarera gati nahi ar Anantera nama sarva jivera uddhar. Lord Anantadev is known as Shesh, the unlimited end, because he ends our passage through this material world. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. Ananta Prithvi Giri Samudra Sahite Ye Prabhu Dharena Giri Palana Karite. On his head, Lord Anantadev sustains the entire universe with his millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. Sahasra Panara Eka Phane Bindu Yena Ananta Vikramana Janena Achehena. He is so large and powerful that this one universe rests on one of his hoods, just like a drop of water. He does not know where it is. Sahasravadane Krishna Yasha Nirantara Gaite Achena Adi Deva Mahidhara. While bearing the universe on one of his hoods, Anandev chants the glories of Krishna with each of thousands of mouths. Gayan Ananta Shri Yashera Nahi Anta Jaya Bhanga Nahi Karu Donhe Balavanta. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he is still not come to their end. Adhyapi Shesha Deva Sahastra Shri Mukhe Gayana Chaitanya Yasha Anta Nahi Dekhe. To this very day, Lord Ananta continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still he finds no end to them. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, in this chapter, we are hearing the glories of Lord Anantadev. And as we have been explained, the meaning of Lord Anantadev means the unlimited one. Anta means end, and Ananta means who has no end. So we see Lord Anantadev's many facets of glories have been mentioned. His creation, his maintenance, his glancing on material nature, his glorifying the Lord, his serving the Lord. So many other points. His mercy to the devotees, his incarnations, His accompanying the material world. So all these various points of Lord Anantadev. So Lord Ananta means he is unlimited. And also, his all glories and activities everything is unlimited. Everything with respect to the Supreme Lord is unlimited. And about his creation, see, Supreme Lord Shri Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to material logic and reasoning, he is very difficult to understand. And even if you try to understand, he is very confusing. Achintya khalue bhava Natam starkena yojet. When we hear Lord is close and Lord is far, no one can understand this sentence. How can somebody be close and how can somebody be far? Or he is walking and he is not walking. For a material world, even a child will not speak like this. A child also knows that this is materially not possible, that he is walking and he is not walking. So first of all, it's very difficult to understand. And if we try to understand the Lord in this way, that he is walking, he is not walking, it's confusing, or it will be baffling us. About this creation, there is one verse which was discussed a month or two back in this same canto. It was saying, Karoti Vishwam Sthiti Sanyamodaya. That Karoti means the Supreme Lord. He creates, maintains and destroys this Vishwam. But it is said, somebody may ask, why does he create? Why does he desire to create? Or Lord also desires. So it explains in the next line, Yasse Ipsitam Na Ipsitam Ikshato Gune. Ipsitam means desire. So Krishna desires, Yasse Ipsitam Na Ipsitam. So this is on the subtle level. Up till now you are hearing physical things. God walks, doesn't walk, he is inside, outside. But here it is more contradictory. He is desiring and not desiring. Krishna desires to create and also not desires to create. Yasse Ipsitam Na Ipsitam. So if we try to, it's very difficult to understand how can, like, if I desire something, then it's not possible for me to not desire that thing at that very moment. At the same moment, desiring something and not desiring something. I may want something, anything, prasad or anything. At the same time, I can't say I don't want. Maybe after some time or after eating it, we may say, no, I don't want. Or something like that. But at the same moment, it's very difficult. But Lord Krishna, for him, all contradictions reside. So, yasse ipsitam, na ipsitam, ikshutur gune. Okay, so still, whether we don't know, he desires or not desires, but he creates. Because it is said both, he desires and not desires, but he creates. But even though he is creating, he is touching and not touching the world while creating. So it is said, sa ikshata, that is his glance. So Srila Prabhupada explains this point by touching. He says, just like if there is a flower, and if it is close by, we can get its fragrance. While smelling the fragrance, beautiful fragrance of flower, one way we are touching, and also one way we are in contact with the flower, that way we are touching. And one way we are still, the flower is separate from us. So something like that, Lord Krishna, he is also touching and not touching. And another beautiful example like this flower is given in this verse. This is Maya. Maya creates, but how? Maya yathayayo brahmate tadashrayam. Maya moves around creating this world. Brahmate tadashrayam. Under the shelter of the Lord. So Maya is there moving, but under the shelter. So but shelter is given, but still Lord is not responsible. How? Yatha ayo. Maya is like iron. Gravano. The next line says, Gravano tadashrayam. That is just like iron particles move around under the influence of a magnet. The childhood days, you might have done some experiments, like we have taken this paper, and above the paper we may keep some iron filings. And below the paper, if we move the magnets, the iron filings move in a particular pattern and all these ways as per the magnetic energy. So in a similar way, just like the magnet and iron particles have no physical contact, but still iron particles are exactly following the effect of magnet. They are not independent from the movements and the influence of magnet, although there is no touch. Similarly, Lord Krishna has no direct contact with the material world. But still, whole material world, it is not independent from the Lord. All the movements, Brahmate means, all the movements including creation, maintenance and destruction are exactly following the desires or the subtle or gross movements of the Lord. They are not independent. The Lord desires to create exactly in a similar way, the creation takes place. But still, Lord has no contact. Maya, material nature is doing it. So we see here, Lord Shri Krishna, he can have all the contradictions and he can have all the qualities in unlimited capacity. This one verse which was saying that Lord Anandadev is so huge and so large that this whole one material universe is just impossible to calculate the weight or size of this universe without accepting the dimensions given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That whole one universe is just like one small drop of water on the hoods of Anandadev. This whole creation of galaxies and Milky Ways and whatever we can think of is just like a one drop moving around, just like we even don't notice hairs on our body. They are just there, very light in weight. Or sometimes some small particles fall on our body and we just don't notice it also. Similarly, Lord Anandadev, for him it's just like something moving around. He doesn't know where it is. Where the drop of water is on my body. He is moving, so the universe is also moving here and there. It's so light, so insignificant for his existence that he even doesn't notice the whole universe presence on his hoods. So in that way he is supporting the universe. But what he is doing? He is glorifying the Lord. Lord, although maintaining the universe, but he is engaged in, his attention is to glorify the Lord. His attention is not to maintain, that is indirectly taken care of. His attention is to glorify the Lord. And Lord is glorifying Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, it is mentioned here, from unlimited time, by unlimited mouths. And still, he has not even finished even a little fraction of the unlimited pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Actually, if you observe Lord Krishna's pastimes in various ways, he shows his unlimited nature in many places. Sometimes Lord comes as a brahmachari, Vamandev. Then he is a perfect brahmachari. Then sometimes Lord also shows that how if he is a gruhastha, like in the sense he is doing the pastimes of being married, then he can excel in every aspect in that. For example, Lord Krishna in Dwarka, he had 16,000 queens. Some people challenge, oh, Krishna had so many queens, why can't we marry so many women? Yes, but then if you want to compete, then you should compete with Krishna equally. Now that means if somebody is challenging, then he should also try to marry 16,000 wives, which is an impossible task for any ordinary human being. He just can't do it. And then, not only Krishna married 16,000 queens, but each one had a seven-story palace. Each queen had a seven-story palace along with beautiful gardens and everything, full in itself. Also, the whole palace was beautifully decorated with jewels and ornaments. There was very wonderful arrangements of lighting and cool breezes. It did not need any electric supply. There were so many jewels that they were self-effulgent. They were giving out light and the whole palace was illuminated. And just by the arrangement of the gardens and the palace, this whole palace was cool, full of cool breezes. We had one experience. We went to this place, Vijayanagar Kingdom, Hampi. In Hampi, there is this Lotus Mahal. It is made up of stone, but it is said that first that Lotus Mahal was specifically belonging to a queen. And the first floor of that Lotus Mahal, it has open windows, like we have windows over here, top. But still, the arrangement of the building is such that on the first floor, even in the hot summer, the breeze that flows is always cool. So this is just insignificant remnants of some knowledge available to 1,000 year back civil engineers of that time. But Lord Krishna is spiritual. So he made 17,000 palaces for each queen in such a wonderful way that it was perfectly cool and illuminated. The perfect temperature required. Here, and also when Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas ashram, he is showing that to the best of capacity. He was most renounced. When Lord Chaitanya would travel to various places, he would not even carry one single rupee. He was showing the perfect behavior of sannyas ashram. Although he is a supreme lord, he is the owner of everything, but he is teaching that in every aspect we should depend on the Lord Shri Krishna himself. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and he was cheated to come to Shantipur, he stayed at Shantipur for some time. And then from Shantipur he started walking. Many devotees accompanied him. In the beginning only he asked all the devotees, do you have any money with you? If you have any money, please don't come with me, return back. All the devotees said, how can we carry even a single coin, a single kavadi without your permission? We don't have anything. Lord congratulated them. Thank you. We should depend always on the Supreme Lord. If the Lord is fixing up everyone's maintenance, if the destiny is there, we can get our food even in the center of the forest. And if the destiny is not there, we may have the whole feast in front of us, but we may be burning with high fever and we can't eat it. So it's Lord Krishna. If Krishna wants, we'll get our whole food, whole feast. And if Lord Shri Krishna wants, we'll have to fast. So we may not make any arrangements for even 1 rupee. And Lord Chaitanya, hearing that none of his accompanies, devotees have any rupees or money, he continued walking. As he continued, he came to one place called Chhatrabhog. And there at that place, Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he left from Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya was showing the greatest compassion. As His Grace Gaurang Prabhu spoke, not yesterday but before he went, that Lord Chaitanya showed the greatest mercy, which he did not even show in Navadvip. He showed that mercy of giving devotional service to everyone when he toured South India. So Lord Chaitanya, in his form of Chaitanya, has unlimited compassion. Ananta, so anta means limited, ananta means unlimited. He was so eager to give this compassion out when he toured South India. And he was in that mood of compassion, and as soon as he began coming to Puri and further on, he just could not control chanting of holy names. He was completely crying all the time. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya came to Chhatrabhog, he was always crying, chanting the names of Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? At that time, there was a very sense enjoyer, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But even though sense enjoyer, a pious and fortunate person staying. He said, it has to be fortunate, because how can otherwise he meet Lord Chaitanya? So he came and he saw Lord Chaitanya. His name was Ramchandra Khan, and he was the governor of South area of Bengal. So he came and he told Lord Chaitanya, I am your servant. Although I am not very good devotee, or not devotee at all, but it's my fortune that you have come. And please tell me, I am the servant of your servant. What can I do? Lord Chaitanya told him that we want to go to Jagannath Puri, and because you are the governor, you arrange for us to go there. Ramchandra Khan replied to him, oh my dear Lord, this is very bad time. Between this Bengal and Orissa, there is no path. There are no open roads. All the borders are sealed. No one goes from this side to that side. And even if someone is trying to go, he is immediately caught by the army, and without any inquiry, he is declared as a spy or some wrong person and immediately punished and tortured. Anyone seeing moving around on their border area is immediately caught as a spy and is tortured and troubled. So Lord, Lord said, we should go. He said, if you are telling, I will try. Although it is a great risk for me also, but who can go against your desires? So he said, today I command my army that in the night I will arrange some boats for you to cross across the river, and across the river you will reach the Orissa. So Lord was very happy, and he was just crying tears. He showed the ecstasy, unlimited ecstasy, which was not shown before, and no one can copy that. Lord, if we were discussing, Lord is full in all the respects. So when he came there in the night, suddenly all the devotees sat in the boat, and Lord told Mukunda, start singing. And Mukunda started singing, and all the devotees started responding loudly. It was midnight, and the boatman was fearful. He said, today we are going to be perished. On the sides, on the banks, there are tigers. In the water, there are crocodiles. And on the both banks, there are also enemy soldiers. If you are going to make such a loud kirtan, it's for sure that we are going to meet death. And if the soldiers catch us, we are going to be plundered. And all our money is going to be taken away. So hearing this comment of the boatman, all the devotees kept silent. But Lord Chaitanya was continuing his ecstatic mood. And he said, oh, why are you all silent? Why don't you chant further? Do you think that Krishna will not protect you? Don't you see the Sudarshan Chakra moving in front of the boat? The Sudarshan Chakra is always protecting the devotees. I have faith on him. Hearing this, all the devotees started chanting loudly again. They reached the other end, all the devotees got out and they started walking towards Orissa. As they started walking towards Orissa, there was a toll collector who caught them. He said, you have to pay taxes, tolls. So sometimes we are troubled by tolls even now, but tolls were existing even in the previous times. This toll collector was there. In fact, the tolls were there even for walking. Actually, they were only walking that time. There were no vehicles for the collect tolls. So said, you are walking, you have to cross the border, you have to pay the tolls. Lord Chaitanya said, I have no money. And Lord Chaitanya was only, he was in fact not in the mood to talk also. He was just chanting the names of Krishna. He was crying tears. He was continuously chanting the names of Krishna. So toll collector seeing this, said, okay, you are allowed. Do you have any accompanying people with you? Lord said, I am alone. No one is with me. So he said, okay, you are allowed to go ahead. And the other devotees were, he said, what are they, how can we cross? Seeing the Lord's ecstatic devotional service, he was allowed to go free. But he said, how can I cross? In the sense, and all the devotees were despondent, hearing that Lord has abandoned them. That Lord has given us up, and Lord Chaitanya crossed the toll and he started walking. He went some distance and sat down. But here the devotees were despondent. Oh, Lord has abandoned. And this toll collector said, okay, I allowed him. You people are not with him. So you have to pay the toll. But these people also had not even a single rupee. So he said, no, this sannyasi, he is our master. He is teaching us to chant the holy names of Krishna. And you have to allow us to go. In this way, the devotees also started chanting the names of Krishna. And naturally, tears started rolling from their eyes. Seeing all first Lord Chaitanya, then the devotees, this toll collector, he also started crying. And he also started chanting the names of Krishna. He understood that this cannot be exhibited artificially by any ordinary human being. Certainly that Lord, that sannyasi is the supreme Lord. So he certainly allowed all the devotees to pass by, but he also joined them. And he went to, not join them till Jagannath Puri, but joined them to meet Lord Chaitanya, who was sitting at some distance. He went and offered obeisances. And he said that it is my causeless fortune that I could see you today, a great personality like your good self. And he offered obeisances and Lord Chaitanya and all walked ahead. As Lord Chaitanya was walking, there was one chas seller, buttermilk. And then Lord Chaitanya wanted to take some buttermilk. So he went and he requested him, please give me some buttermilk. And seeing the beauty of the Lord, this boy, he said, just take whatever you want. And then Lord took the whole pot and finished it. And he said, don't worry. Those who are following me, my devotees, they will pay you. I don't have anything. And the devotees were close by and they said, we have nothing. Lord instructed that you should not give even one single rupee. It was Lord's order. And the Lord is telling, they will pay you. It's bewildering. If somebody does it with us, we'll say, what is this? We'll revolt. We'll say, we are going back. But he said, just in the beginning, Lord ensured that we have no rupees. And here the Lord is telling, they will pay you. And the Lord walked off. Lord said, they will pay. And he started walking. So here, this boy, just seeing the Lord, he was so happy. He said, anyway, whether you pay or don't pay, it's okay. And he just went to lift his empty pot. But by the mercy of Lord, as soon as he went to lift his empty pot, that whole pot was filled of jewels and ornaments, much, much more than the value of the buttermilk. So in this way, Lord traveled all over India, first to Jagannath Puri and then further on, not even carrying a single rupee. Sometimes he would get prasad, sometimes he said he just traveled. Even we saw, see Sanatana Goswami, just one small point, that when he escaped from the prison, he had this servant Ishan, and he was having that one coin, gold coin. Although he had eight, Lord told him to give, not Lord, Sanatana Goswami told him, you give up these gold coins, then will you come with me. He gave seven of them, kept one, maybe it will be required, emergency. So when Sanatana Goswami understood in that forest, Patada Hill areas, Sanatana Goswami said, okay, I cannot give faith that you have money or not. So he said, no, you go back. You go back with this one gold coin. I don't want to have any money. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya showed the most ecstatic order of renunciation. He had not even unlimited renunciation. Lord Chaitanya's renunciation was the greatest never shown in the history. Also, his mercy is greatest. His renunciation is greatest. At the same time, his mercy is greatest. As Govind Prabhu always quotes his shloka, he says, if somebody wants to apply logic and intelligence to anything, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krupa Karha Vichar. Vichar Karve Chitta Pave Chamatkar. If you want to apply logic and reasoning, then you try to apply logic and reasoning to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Because, as I said, that is unlimited. Our whole desire to apply logic and reasoning can be satisfied fully. We can just think of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Actually, therefore, Lord is also showing that this Kali Yuga is the most lowest. In a way, we can say it is ananta sinful. Kalo dosha nidhe rajan. And our devotees who came from West, they are telling us that anyone in India, is Bombay is not different because of this modern communication systems. Bombay is as good as or as bad as in material degradation as Western countries. But still, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is full. Actually, you may ask why it is so. Why Lord Chaitanya is giving maximum mercy to fallen people of Kali Yuga? Why not Satya Yuga? Satya Yuga, people were, they were not to be told that you have to follow four regular principles. And here Prabhupada says, following four regular principles is enough tapasya in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, people were so cultured naturally that they were not to be even mentioned that, oh, you have to follow four regular principles. It's a part of their life. Actually, that is the very reason that why Lord Chaitanya is merciful to the people in Kali Yuga. Because in Satya Yuga, to follow the four regular principles did not require any effort. People are naturally of that made up of that mentality, that it was easy for them. They did not have to struggle or work hard. Their physical bodies were just made up in that way, that yeah, they are following four regular principles. But in Kali Yuga, even to follow the four regular principles is a great effort, a great fight. It's a great struggle. And a person who takes up that struggle, the Lord seeing his struggle, his hard work to follow even the basic four regular principles, Lord Chaitanya becomes completely pleased. He is so eager. He is trying so hard to be Krishna conscious in all the reverse or unfavorable circumstances, that Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so merciful, and he gives his unlimited mercy. And Lord Chaitanya actually appeared for that. Anarpitam charim chirat. He appeared to give the highest. As Nityananda Prabhu was saying yesterday, the Lord Chaitanya came to give the highest to the lowest. That was Lord's extreme. The people of Kali Yuga are the lowest, but Lord is giving the highest. That is Lord Krishna's remembrance 24 hours a day. And this remembrance of Lord Krishna is in two ways. In higher realms of devotional service, it is said remembrance of Lord Krishna is in two ways. One is remembering Krishna when he is present with us. And one is remembering Krishna in his absence. That is called virabhav. And technically seeing, this virabhav is a great painful situation. A great painful situation. Devotees are crying. They are just completely disturbed externally. They can't maintain their life. They can't do their daily activity. They are not eating. They are not clothing properly. They are completely disturbed. When they experience this, Lord Krishna's remembrance in mood of separation. So externally it may appear that it is very suffering condition. Externally, sometimes they may have fever. All these material suffering symptoms may be present. It's the most suffering situation externally when a devotee is feeling suffering from separation from the Supreme Lord. We see in Vrindavan, when Lord Krishna left, all the gopas, gopis, Nanda Maharaj, parents, cows, calves would not eat the grass in their mouth, but they would not chew. Gopis would not wear the jewelry. Their hairs and clothes were disheveled. They were continuously crying. Some were having fever. Some were thinking, let me die. When does in material world person thinks, let me die? Only when he is suffering so much, then he wants to commit. No one commits suicide when he is happy. Okay, today is a good day. I got result. I am first in the university. So let me go and commit suicide. No one commits suicide. No one even thinks of suicide when he is happy in this material world. He is thinking only when he is suffering. Similar, not in that exactly mood, but similarly, the devotees of Vrindavan are thinking, why are we maintaining our life in the absence of Krishna? So externally appearing that they are suffering the maximum even according to material level. They are not, but it's appearing. But actually, during that time, they are experiencing the greatest presence of Krishna. They are with Krishna in the maximum way. They are with Krishna in the most possible way. This is the highest limit about Lord Krishna's devotion. That externally the devotees are suffering unlimitedly. But they are, at that moment, they are with Krishna in the maximum climax or the peak of Krishna consciousness. In fact, if we see the devotees of Vrindavan have these qualities of separation always, even when Krishna is present with them. Even when Krishna is present with them, they are thinking, oh, when Krishna will leave me? Their mood of separation remains in the anticipation of separation. So the symptoms remain the same, anticipating Krishna's separation. We see sometimes Radhani or Gopis or Gopas are with Krishna. And they think, oh, Krishna will leave me. And the same symptoms, when Krishna is not there, manifest within them when Krishna is next to them. When Lord Shri Krishna is next to them, the same symptoms manifest in their body, in their consciousness, when Krishna is not there. So actually, this is the 24-hour consciousness of Vrajvasis. Even when Krishna is present or not present, their consciousness is of a virabhav, mood of separation. So therefore, this is the highest possible Krishna consciousness. But externally, it appears to be highest possible suffering. So it's very difficult. As I said, logic-wise, it's impossible to understand the Supreme Lord Krishna. And if we try to understand only by material logic, it will be confusing and baffling. We have to understand it only by parampara. To get an example of this maximum suffering and enjoyment, pleasure, our acharyas give is just like hot sugarcane juice. Hot sugarcane juice, when we drink it, it's burning because it's hot. But it's very sweet also. Concentrated hot sugarcane juice. So it's like very difficult to give up and also very difficult to accept. The Vrindavan duties are telling that we don't want this mood of separation. But still they can't give up. It's their constant feature. They say we don't want this mood of separation, but still they can't give up. Just like drinking this hot sugarcane juice, concentrated. It's hot, it's burning, but still can't be given up. Therefore, we can't understand Krishna on our own strength. Therefore, karma, gnan, dhyan, all this process of karma, gnan, dhyan can't take us to the full understanding of Krishna. Because all these processes are based on our own strength. I will do activities. I will develop knowledge. I will do tapasya and ashtanga yoga and dhyan. And if we do, our strength is limited. Only by the unlimited mercy of Krishna can we understand the Lord Shri Krishna. And to understand unlimited Lord Shri Krishna with unlimited contradictions, we require one thing, which should be also ananta. Krishna tells that in Bhagavad Gita 13 chapters, in the beginning of the items of knowledge. He says, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam. The first thing which he tells is Amanitvam. What we may try to do to understand Krishna is not to try to understand Krishna, but try to develop this quality of Amanitvam. If we try to develop this quality of Amanitvam, automatically all other things will follow. Just like in that second chapter where Krishna tells a step-by-step process of fall down. He says, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa, Sangas Tesho Upajayate, Sangas Sanjayate Kama. So the first step is Dhyayato. That is thinking, contemplating. Not that other steps are not dangerous. Other steps are dangerous. But they can't exist without the existence of Dhyayato. Other steps are also equally dangerous for spiritual life. Kama, Krodha, Buddhi, Nasha, all are dangerous. But there cannot be any Buddhi, Nasha, or there cannot be any Kama or Krodha without the first step being there. Dhyayata. In a similar way, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Marjavam. Acharya Upasana is important. There is one verse that Ahituki, what is that verse? That we have to do bhakti in that. Ahituki bhakti is important. Acharya Upasana is important. Not that they are not important. They are very important. But they can't exist without the existence of these initial qualities. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti. So these initial qualities, Krishna is telling that these things are important, but for to have full devotion, to have full eagerness to worship the Supreme, the Guru, Acharya Upasanam, these initial qualities of Amanitvam, Adambitvam are required. Because if we are not humble, humility means I require Krishna's unlimited mercy. If we are proud, we'll say, oh, I don't want mercy. And Krishna says, Yathamam prapadyante tam sateva bhajamyo. See, if you say, I don't want mercy, I don't want Krishna's help, then Krishna will not help us in devotional service. To get Krishna's help, to come to this understanding of unlimited Krishna, Ananta, we have to develop unlimited humility. Then Krishna's mercy will immediately come. Just like Prabhupada was once walking in this garden, and we have heard this story, and one duck was shouting very loudly. Prabhupada says he will get more food because he is shouting loudly. Similarly, if we desire mercy more, and when we desire mercy, when we think I am not qualified, I am unqualified, then we will desire mercy more. That will ask for mercy more, right? Help, help. And then only if we don't ask, just like that duck who is not shouting, they might get the more food. So that ask for help comes from Amanitvam, Adambitvam. And Lord Ananta, he is there to give us this mercy. We have to ask for it. And Lord Ananta also, just in the end, one more short story. He also comes out of his unlimited love for devotees. He takes so many incarnations. Once Radha Govind Maharaj told this wonderful story that why does Lord take incarnations for his love for his devotees? He said once there are Akbar and Birbal, and Birbal asked Akbar, hey, oh, your Lord, he comes to your world, he takes incarnation. If he is Lord, why he has to take incarnation? He need not take incarnation. Birbal said, I will answer at a proper time. So after a few days of this question, Akbar, Birbal, Akbar's whole family, the whole royal family was enjoying a boat ride in a lake. And Birbal certainly was, he was the inner member of Akbar's family, so he was also there. So Akbar, his queens, his baby children were there. So Birbal took this, and suddenly, although it was a family, royal family, so there was many bodyguards and like that, because he was king. So Birbal was there. He took Akbar's baby to play around, play with. And while playing with Akbar's baby, while playing, he dropped it into water. The supreme king's baby was dropped into water by Birbal. And Akbar was so angry. And he said, what is this? You can't handle it. But before saying anything, he immediately jumped into the water. and saved, caught the baby, saved him and came out on the boat again. And he started chastising Birbal. What is this? You nonsense, you don't understand, you can't handle. Why you threw him into the water? He would have died. Birbal said, I will answer you all questions. But tell me, you have hundreds of bodyguards over here. And I think they are all better swimmers than you. So why don't you order any one of them? You jump and save. Why don't you jump immediately? They could have done the better job. Akbar said, how can I? Like, it was my child. I jumped immediately. So Birbal said, similarly, Lord, out of love for his own devotees, Lord can say, okay, you do this job. Okay, you do that. You show mercy. You help the devotees. You provide food to my devotees. You protect my devotees. Lord can do that. But just like Akbar did not assign to the soul, oh, you go and protect him. It's my. So here devotees, Krishna says, Sadhu Rudyam Mahiyam, Sadhunam Rudyam. Krishna says, I don't know anything but a devotee. So Krishna, out of love, unlimited love, he need not, but out of unlimited love, he incarnates in this world to show the unlimited mercy to devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comments by devotees of unlimited devotional service? Gopinath has one comment.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for your very analytical analysis of unlimited ways of analyzing. I just wanted a clarification about these two words, amanitvam, adambhitvam. How are they actually different from each other? Is it a single word or is it different?
Maybe we'll just look up the translations first and other devotees can also help. 13th chapter, text number 8. So in the translation, Prabhupada says humility and pridelessness. So maybe they are the both sides, Janna Sangya and the Sangya Tyagat, something like that. At least it appears to purports. Okay, yeah. Gaurang Vishling should read purports. So humility. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. So he's defining it like that. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from a point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not his body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then they want to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. Okay, that's Prabhupada has not explained Avadambhitvam. He has gone to state Ahimsa, non-violence. So it seems that they are, maybe Gaurang Prabhu wants to explain.
This word dambha, it basically in the fourth canto, in the third canto, the whole hierarchy of how from lying and cheating all these things come. So dambha refers to also deception. So when one is trying to establish himself as someone great, when in reality it is not true, so that results in some kind of cheating propensity when one is trying to show himself as greater than what he is actually. So in one sense, it also refers to a kind of deception and bluffing just to establish one's superiority. So there is different verses in Srimad Bhagavatam which starts with the word dambha. And it is the attempt of the soul, which is 1/10,000 tip of the hair and insignificant, when he is trying to establish his greatness, which is actually a colossal hoax. It is not true. So therefore the connotation of the word dambha has a relationship with this concept of deception. So therefore adambhitva means pridelessness, means you are aware of your actual position, that you are not someone great and you are not someone superior, but you are insignificant like that. My understanding is amanitva means that you understand the greatness of Krishna and you are able to appreciate and respect others. And adambhitva means the other side of it.
That dambha said is here, although it appears that Prabhupada has not mentioned adambhitva, but this point of adambhitva, we can make a slight difference. Humility, it is said that not to be anxious to have satisfaction of being honored by others. And then, at halfway between what I read, Prabhupada changes. He said, we should not get honor from others because we are not his body. Honor, dishonor is all same. And then he slightly changes. He says, one should not be hankering for this material deception. And this deception, he says that we are not religiously advanced, but we want to be religiously, show as religiously advanced. So although he has not mentioned adambhitvam, I think, but as deception. And then deception is explained that although we have found that in religious people, they are not religiously advanced, but they want to advertise themselves as being great, a religious mentor and religiously advanced people. So that deception, duality. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.